while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? Good. Weather is getting warmer. It's going to be like 31 degrees on Tuesday. Everyone stay hydrated. Praise God. So my name's Louise. See quite a few new faces. And I've been worshipping here at Pollard's Hill for a long time. I'm going to try and work that out. But, you know, as ever, it's such a blessing to be in his house this morning, you know. And thank you to Sister Akosua, who I can't see, and the worship team, Sister Lillian, because I feel like, you know, the sermon's been written, but in many ways, it's kind of like pulling everything that we've sung and that we've heard this morning together. So I give God thanks for that. And today's theme, as it was mentioned, is Be the Light. And I have a slideshow that I can see the media team working on to bring up. Praise God. And thinking about Be the Light, I mean, many of us here have been Christians for a while now. And when we hear the kind of salt and light scripture, it's so easy to, thank you, so easy to take it for granted or to become a bit complacent in it. Is that fair to say? I mean, I certainly feel that way. So I'd like to be challenged this morning. I'd like to challenge myself and I'd like to challenge you and us to look at it, to be open to a refresher on this theme. You know, when you watch a film let's stick with a film. When you watch a film, your favorite film, you watch it for the first time and you love it and so many things are happening. And then you watch it the second time and the second time you watch it, it's different, right? You see an angle or a character or you see something that prompted this big event that you maybe didn't see the first time you watch the film. So it's like that with scripture, you know, and that's why we keep reading it to kind of learn more about God and who he calls us to be. So, before I go into the sermon, I'd like to start with a bit of a quiz, because we do like quizzes here at Pollard's Hill. There aren't a lot of children in the service today, or maybe there are, I just can't see them. So I have three questions, and essentially, the answers are either on a person, a place, or a thing in the Bible. I've selected answers that embody either the light or the goodness of God or sharing the gospel with others. So without looking at your Bibles, church, or your phones, if you have Bibles on your phones, I'd like us to do a short quiz, three questions. I will need two helpers. And two mics, media team. So maybe if there's a young person or a child that's willing to help, that would be greatly appreciated. I'm looking at Gabrielle at the back. She's like, no. Just to kind of help with the going and finding the answers. Have I got any volunteers? Okay, everyone's being shy. I'm going to hand the microphone to you, Simone. So you can do this side, and then I need someone for this side. Oh, thank you, Sister Bridget. So if you are with a young person, do encourage them. If you know the answer, maybe let them know so they can answer it so we get the children and the young people involved too. So I'm going to start with the first question. So it's a number of statements that I'm going to read, and hopefully these statements should give us the answer. Okay? So we're going to say A and B, teams. No shouting out, put your hand up and the mic will come to you and you will answer. Everyone's looking at me nervously. Don't worry, it's only three. So the first one is, this is on a person. People argued with me. I was full of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. I was full of God's grace and power. I mean, that could be a lot of people in the Bible. Okay, how about this? I was accused of blasphemy. Oh?
Jesus.
Someone's got their hand up here. Oh, okay. Sorry, I think it's, Veronica was first there. No? No? Oh, okay.
I was looking for a young person. Jesus?
No? Okay. Would you like to...
Paul?
Paul, no? No, no, no. I'll keep going. I was judged by the Sanhedrin.
Stephen.
Oh, yes, Felix, well done. So, Stephen. Oh, Stephen. Stephen in the Bible, yes. He shouted out. No, the mic was there. The mic was there. Oh my gosh. Everyone is so competitive in this church. Felix got the answer right, okay? Okay, the next one, okay, is a place. So, a war takes place here. A war takes place here. It's in Revelations. My floodgates opened. Jesus mentioned me quite often.
Heaven.
Oh, Felix. You shouted out, but yes, Felix is right, it's heaven. Please, don't shout out. Okay, the next one is a thing. This side, this is your opportunity to come back. Okay, so it's a thing. Yes, okay. So, everyone desires me. Many waters can't quench me. Oh, someone has their hand. Who was first? Okay.
Love.
Oh. Wisdom.
Okay. Sorry?
Wisdom.
Oh, that was a good guess, but unfortunately it's love. It is love. Yes. Okay, Team A, you won. Well done. Well done. I do have some goodies for the children in that basket on that row. And young people, or whoever, maybe Felix might want one, please feel free to hand them out to the children and young people. Yeah. Thank you, church. Okay, should we get to the sermon? So, today's main scripture is featured within the well-known chapters in Matthew 5. And Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and 7, we see Jesus ascend a hill with his followers, and he talks about the kingdom of heaven. And these chapters are often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. So in Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, which is before our main scripture, on this hill we hear Jesus proclaim a series of blessings, and these blessings are called the Beatitudes, or referred to as the Beatitudes. And I'd like to start there just as a means to give our main scripture some context. So if you've got your Bibles with you, go to chapter 5, and I'll read verses 1 to 10, but from the Message version, and it's also up on the screen, although it's a bit small, so I'll read. So the chapter starts, "You're blessed." When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more or no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's the food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when your inside world, your mind and heart are put right, then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution, the persecution that drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Amen. So Jesus here is talking about the promises that come with kingdom living and the mystery of God's grace and blessing, even when the circumstances don't look that way. So the Beatitudes precede Jesus talking to his followers and indeed us about being salt and light. So let's talk about this assignment. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to fulfill God's promise. He came so that we could walk in a new life and a new light. Jesus, our Saviour, born of the Virgin Mary, the King of the world, born in a manger, who walked the earth to reset the rule book and pull us out of darkness into his marvellous light. We learn that indeed he is the way, the truth, and the life. And his ministry, while here on earth as a man, revealed the goodwill of God the Father and his power to heal, but also to forgive, his mercy, his peace, his joy, and most of all, his love. Jesus knew the weight and beauty of his mission while here on earth. I mean, throughout the Gospels, we hear Jesus talk in parables, giving his followers insight into the kingdom of God and how to respond to the call. And this call, this assignment for us as Christians, is to be salt and light. I want us to look at the Message version of our main scripture. The Message version says, verse 13, "Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth." If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. So our main focus as a Christian is actually to be salt and light. In other words, we're meant to live out our faith in a way that impacts others and impacts the world around us. It's so wonderful, one of the things I've been thinking about, it's so wonderful that God, he sees our brokenness, our imperfections, our wrongdoing, and he just rewrites all of that and instead declares that we carry his light. And that means we don't just come to church each week, family. It means that we are the church. Wherever we are, we're called to show his light, the goodness of God. And we do that because we've experienced him in our lives, right? We've experienced this risen God. We've seen how he's changed us. He's changed our desires. He's changed our motivations. He set us free from the sins that were weighing us down. And so we should be excited. We should be ready to share the good news and our testimony. Verses 14 to 16 in the Message say, "Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on the hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Amen. And so we have it here, standing for God and being his light requires us to open up to others, to be generous with our lives, our time, our gifts, our resources, to spur others on to see God working in and through us. But what does that look like in our day to day? For many of us, we have the desire to share the good news of Christ, but it just doesn't come easily. Honestly, it doesn't feel comfortable. It's not an easy thing that we can get our head around. God, I don't have the right words. I don't know how to speak to people. People don't tend to like me. This is one of the reasons that we have his Holy Spirit, whom Jesus refers to as the helper. So if you have that desire and you're feeling less than, feeling like you don't have the words, you don't have the confidence, then spend time in prayer with him. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, to show you how you can share the good news in your way through the gifts that he has given you. And each and every one of us, if we serve Christ, if we know Christ, he has given us gifts that he wants to use through us for his glory. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. Amen. And as was mentioned in the notices, later on we'll be going out into the community as part of our door-to-door ministry, which we do regularly as part of our outreach and mission. And for me, this is the sermon, right? That is the sermon. That's the sermon right there in action. It could be you are called to be an evangelist and to evangelize. And I'm not talking about the type of standing in the street with a megaphone and, you know, telling people that they're going to go to hell if they don't, you know. I'm not talking about that necessarily. But perhaps God is calling you to start something, whether that's a tea or coffee ministry, or simply making sure that you're checking in on your neighbors and your friends in your community. Maybe you're an encourager, and you've discerned that the Lord wants you to participate in this PHBC mission. Well, I'm saying to you today, join in and encourage and pray with the others who are going door to door, and see where God wants to take you and use you for his glory. I really love the sermon notes that come with this, with the theme, which Akuswam read before. But it says, influence is all around us. We are taught, we are shown, we are told, and we are helped one way or another along our journey of life. As Christians, Jesus calls us not merely to be people who are influenced, but to be people of influence, making a difference and an impact. I really like what the sermon notes mention about moving from being influenced to being of influence. And it's something I've been reflecting on, like how do you move from Jesus influencing you to you then being in that place of influencing others? Because when we first meet Jesus, we have this desire to follow him. You know, we want to learn about him. We want to spend time in his presence. We want this this phase of our faith is like, it's almost like we're a baby again and we're learning about Christ in this new way. I mean, do you remember the first time you learned about Jesus? Perhaps it was through someone who had a word for you. Or seeing the billboard outside the church. I remember that testimony. For me, I remember feeling like my life had flashed before my eyes. I was 24 when I accepted Christ. Because before then, I believed you had to be perfect to be a Christian, right? I thought you had to do all the good things. You had to be this really kind person. You had to be really good. And I didn't feel that I was good enough. I would never be able to make that. My life wasn't, I wasn't a perfect person. And so the good news really changed my life when I learnt that Jesus, it began with Jesus and that he would change me, that I didn't need to change me to meet with Jesus. He would do that. I just needed to accept him. When we become a Christian, and actually during our journey and walk with Christ, we're influenced by his way, his truth, his word, and his light. This is part of our calling. And as followers of Christ, we need to surrender to his way and his leading and not the world's. We say goodbye to the world's leading. And we heard that earlier in the Daniel reading with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Standing against the culture of that time. But how do we move from being influenced to being of influence, especially when the dominant culture goes against so many of the truths found in God's word? And I believe, family, this is the cross that we carry, right? That's the cross that we carry. Standing for God's truth in a world that says otherwise. I love that line in the hymn, Unbroken Praise, which says, let my deeds outrun my words and let my life outweigh my songs. Let my deeds outrun my words and let my life outweigh my songs. We can do it again. Let my deeds outrun my words. And let my life outweigh my songs. Amen. The mission and the kingdom of God is bigger and more awesome than any of us can even imagine. God's plan includes us, but it goes beyond us in terms of time, in terms of scale, in terms of impact. And we need to consider that. We need to consider the legacy we want to leave behind when he calls us home. Because it's an assurance that we have as Christians, that if we follow him and we're obedient to him, we will be called home. But what about our legacy? What do we want people to remember about us when it's our time to go? He's calling us as his children to stand and not hide our identity in him. We should be running after this mission first. I'm not saying that we all have to be evangelizing. I'm not going to be evangelizing. I'm sorry. I'll have a conversation, but I'm not going to be that person on the street. But we need to serve. I need to serve him. I need to live out my faith. So what I'm saying is, you are a light of God, and he wants to use you for his glory. We need to start where we are, church. Where we are in life and in the stage and place we're in right now. This is your first ministry. Where you are right now is your first ministry. So be the light there first. Your first ministry could be your marriage, could be your family, could be your home, your road, your place of work, your coffee club. I mentioned coffee quite a few times. You can tell I'm tired. It could be your school, your college, your uni, and on. Be the light. Does someone you know need support, prayer, a listening ear, a phone call, a cup of tea, or even a hug? Be the light. Or is it time to use wisdom from God, that you've been given from God, to share a word about something he has placed on your heart to share with someone you know? Someone who needs to hear it. Well, be the light. That uncomfortable conversation that the Holy Spirit has been convicting you to have out of love for that loved one. You know the things that are leading them into the path of darkness. And the Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to confront it with love. Be the light. Jesus didn't shy away from difficult conversations, and neither should we. So turn to your neighbor on your left and on your right and say, be the light. Be the light. Be the light. Be the light. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Who has the Holy Spirit placed on your mind to help or to encourage with a word? Or who has he asked you to share your testimony with? This happened recently to me on my commute, and God has a sense of humor, by the way. He really has a sense of humor. I've been praying about work and just about, like, you know, I think people know I go to church. I talk about church and what I do and stuff. And you know, I'm like, Lord, I feel like I'm not really sharing my testimony. I'm not being, like, you know, I'm not being real with them about who you are at times. And so a month ago, on my way to work, I work in central London, so it's the train from, like, Croydon sides to, like, Victoria. And so I bump into some people that I know. It's 8:30 in the morning. It's a packed train. And, you know, if people that... Who gets the train to work or tube? So typically, not anymore, yeah. typically, the first carriage is always the busiest. Have you realised that? Because everyone gets out and just is by the... They're by the barriers, so there's no... You know, everyone can move very quickly. So I'm on the first carriage of this, like, train. It's full of people. It's around 8:30-ish in the morning. And I bump into some people, and they're like, oh, Louise, hi. And I'm like, oh, hi, with my headphones. I'm like, oh, hi. And we're talking. And they're like, I just want to understand, like, how did you become a Christian? And I'm like, okay, Lord. I'm like, all right. I did ask, okay. And they're like, yeah, tell me about your church. How did you find your church? Like, tell me. And I'm like, okay. So I obviously told them, but in that moment, I really had to thank God, because I'd been asking, like, how do I do this? It's like, there you go. you know, and he did it in a way that I would never have imagined or thought. And, like, you never know whether people were listening. You know, lots of people had their headphones on. But either way, I felt like, oh, Lord, okay. And a dear sister once said in a sermon here, do you realize that there are some people that only you can speak to about or with impact about Christ? So I'm going back to your where you are in your life. There are people that you can speak to with impact that I can't speak to, and people that I can speak to with impact that you know? Your story, your experience, your journey could impact a particular person or group because you can relate to them. And I think this is a word for us all. Let's not be complacent. If we are in Christ and in his plan, he's placed us where we are for a reason. And we need to be obedient to his will and leading. And honestly, not everyone we share the gospel with or our testimony with will receive it. People might laugh, people might say that's not the truth, people might push back. You know what? That's okay. We should always keep in mind that it's God's will we are working to and not our own. We have to trust the Holy Spirit that he's called us to this mission and that his will be done. It might be that they won't hear it now, but they might hear it later on. We trust God with it, right? And we move to where he's moving us to next, who he's equipping us to speak to next. And I feel like some of us are listening and thinking, well, you know what, Louise, this applies to a lot of people here, but it doesn't apply to me. Or perhaps you're a Christian and you feel like, you know what, I just don't want to share my story. I don't want to share my faith. I don't have that desire to do that. But I ask you, brothers and sisters, if this is you, seek prayer and intercession from those who have been in faith and can lift you up. Because his will for you is that you would not lose your impact, but use it. So I encourage you to speak to the leaders, elders, the prayer team of the church. Actually, leaders, elders, prayer team, do you mind just rising? Just so people can just see who you are. Encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you don't have that desire, reach out. Let people who have been in the faith build you up in prayer and encouragement. And I also have to say this regarding impact. We have to continue to be the light and to be his light bearers, even when we're in the valley of life. We shouldn't stop. Perhaps you're waiting on God for a miracle, for a breakthrough or an answered prayer. Maybe right now life is hard. Challenges surround you. Like the scripture says, you're pressed on every side. Maybe there's a situation that seems like it's never going to end and you are honestly feeling so consumed and feel the weight of it all. This might be hard to hear, but continue to walk in his light, even when it feels hard to do so. Send that text to the person who God has brought to your mind. Are you free in the afternoons but feel low about that situation? Go and spend some time with his people. Or support your local food bank, homeless shelter, or ministry area you feel called to. By all means, rest, take time out and spend time in prayer, but don't stop being his light. Because by continuing to walk in his light, your faith in him is at work. And you are trusting God then in action for everything else and your breakthrough. You see, one of the ways we move into the space where we're being of influence is when we stand for God and his light despite what is happening in our lives. That's when people see difference in you. That's when they see, as the scripture says, you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. God's special possession. As you continue to walk in his grace anyway, despite what is happening around you, that's impact. Who is this God that gives her the ability to stand tall even though she's going through XXXX? Stephen has been overlooked at work, and yet he turns up and is gracious to each and every person. How does he do it? Who is this Jesus that he talks about? Impact. Because the world needs Jesus. I've got a slide here. The next slide. Thank you. Scott McNamara. I don't know if too many people remember Scott and King's Army. So Scott and King's Army visited us last year. I think it was last year. And so many of us were encouraged by their mission. So Scott had a road to Damascus experience, you know. And he became a follower of Jesus, turning away from a life of drink and drug addiction. And he began evangelizing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And today he leads Jesus at the Door Ministry, which is a book that he's also written. And this ministry equips believers all throughout the world to share the good news and their testimony with everyday people, not in the way that we see it typically, but just in having those real conversations. And he set up King's Army, which again is, I think it's a global fellowship now. And he trains believers to share the gospel. And on the image at the end there, that's King's Army proclaiming the gospel in front of Buckingham Palace. So I had a video, but unfortunately I can't play it. But they're, you know, reading the gospel, singing and worshipping in front of Buckingham Palace and speaking to tourists, praying for tourists, telling people the good news of Christ. Impact. So just to round up, as Christians, we are called to be people of impact. God has selected you and me to be his light and light bearers. He has given us each talents and gifts to do this. In his word, he tells us his desire is that we are generous with our lives as a means to prompt others to seek and know the goodness of God and his salvation. Being the light is countercultural. It goes against the culture of today. And yet, we are called to stand out for his glory. Ultimately, when we're walking in the light of God, we have the assurance that we are blessed by him, as we read at the start from the Beatitudes, which I'll read again, actually. The Message version. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution, the persecution that drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Amen. So family, be the light. In sharing your faith with others so that souls may be saved and so that he may say to you on that day that you meet him in heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed. and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.